Jonah chapter 1. I know that some of us haven't been here from the last times that we have looked at this message. I'm sure that you know the story of Jonah very well. I just want to read one verse, really, verse 17 of chapter 1. That's where our message, I believe, lies for us today. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord hath prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. We thank God for his word as we come to this point in Jonah, a point that is very well known, famous, and also dramatic. But we want to consider it here this morning. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us, to open up his word. If you depend upon the clarity of the preacher, which should be, and his explanation of the doctrine alone, which of course should be proper and right, that you'll not get anything out of this message. There needs also, and most importantly, to be the Spirit of God working in your heart and speaking, taking the Word of God and applying it to you, to your circumstances. The Lord speaks through his Word and through his Word alone. Let's pray and ask him to speak to us. Our Heavenly Father, we, Lord, would praise thee for how, Lord, we have already traveled and sojourned through this first chapter of Jonah, having learned so much and considered many things about this historical account and the personal reflections of this prophet. Lord, we consider then this verse on its own, this famous verse about Jonah and the whale. And Lord, we thank thee that there are such accounts in thy word, Lord, that give us these dramatic scenes where there is a display of thy might and thy mercy. But Lord, we thank thee most of all that in each word and in each sentence and in each verse that we find there a message for us, a teaching for our life, doctrine to help us understand thee. But Lord, in all that and with all that is a message for me today, a message for me right now, where I am in my Christian life. Lord, the sins that have so easily beset me, Lord, where I find myself in my coldness, in my place, in my Christian life, oh God, speak to me. Let this verse be alive. Let it be real. Let it be substantial to my heart. May the blessed Spirit of God open up the word to me. Lord, remember the young ones in this service. Lord, those who are beginning not only their life, but really their Christian life too. And we pray, oh God, that here today and in these services, that they will be molded and sculpted into men and women of God. And the Lord, we together, and those who have been on the road for a long time in their Christian life, will be re-sculpted afresh before the almighty presence of God. Lord, put your hand upon us and let it lean heavy upon us here this morning. But Lord, give us the oars of thy Spirit and his ministering grace and mercy to uphold us and to keep us and to give us a perfect and full view of thy Son. For we pray all this in Jesus' own, only, worthy, precious name. Amen. Amen. Jonah's reflection then, reflections. We are embarking now on our fifth sermon in the series. In 1819, Herman Melville was born, and it was his, interestingly, his 294th birthday this past week. And I saw this on the internet, and it got me a bit excited. He was an accomplished writer, made famous by his work, Moby Dick, or The White Whale. As much as Herman Melville is indebted to a whale for his fame, I suppose so is Jonah. Jonah's story is not known so well for a prophet Jonah, but for Jonah and the whale. It's universally recognized for Jonah and the whale. We think of Noah, we think of Noah and the ark. That's what gives him definition, that's what makes him famous. Till now we have paid almost all our attention to Jonah. Who he is, where he's from. We considered that he was from Gath Hepher, an insignificant place, just like where I'm from. A place where he wasn't known, he would never rise to any type of fame or any type of duty before kings or countries, or even before God, he would think, but that's where he was from. He was an insignificant man from an insignificant place. We thought of what the Lord asked him to do. We considered God revealing himself to Jonah and how important that was to understand that God reveals himself. He speaks to us. And we saw then that the wrath of God from which Jonah ran was this wrath which he was displaying, or it was his will to display and to have communicated to this great city, Nineveh, of which we considered as well this capital of the Assyrian Empire. We thought off his running in disobedience and the nature of sin, how it was so deceptive, cunning, and how we fall asleep so quickly spiritually when we are in sin and disobedience. How then the storm chased Jonah, and how the captain then came down to him while the storm was raging, and yet he still was asleep, and how the captain cried those solemn words to him, "Call upon my God." Then there came the full discovery of Jonah's sin and the strict dealing with it. By faith, Jonah is given over to the sea, the storm, and into the Lord's hands. Now, the word has us to consider a fish. Now the Lord has prepared a great fish. A strange thing for us to be meditating upon this morning, a very simple thought. The Lord has prepared a great fish. A fish prepared of the Lord, but with the fish, and the comments attached in verse 17 come some very hard questions, some quite controversial questions, doctrines in their own right, some different opinions around this occasion when Jonah was thrown into the sea and he was swallowed up by this great fish. Some here may find these issues both interesting and edifying, considering Jonah, if he died or not, and such things, how he was sustained in the belly of the fish, if it was simply by some kind of the nature of the wheel, or being sustained in the fish's belly by food and by water, how this happened, or whether it was just simply the miraculous intervention of God. This whole experience of poor Jonah does bring up these things. But all of us, I pray, will clearly see the blessed providential mercy of God on Jonah here. And so I want us to understand verse 7 from two perspectives. Firstly, and this week I'd like you to consider the fish that was prepared to swallow up Jonah. The history or biblical account of this great fish or the whale is prolific, considering that this is but an animal, a sea creature amongst the millions of wonderful creatures in the sea. It's hard to say that one animal is special. Hard to say that one animal is counted as most majestic or a little more majestic than the rest, but I can't help but think that the Lord esteems the whale, the great fish, above many, if not all, his creatures and animals. It is a marvelous creature. The wonder and intricacies of the whale speak well of God's creative genius. I would recommend Dr. Wilder Smith on Sermon Audio if you get time to listen to him. He is a great scientist and philosopher, and also a man who speaks well of creation from that aspect of things. The whale, of course, is a mammal and belongs to the dolphin family. You may know a lot about science and things, but I found that out pretty recently, that the whale is actually a dolphin. They come in different sizes, the largest being the sperm whale, taking its name from the oil that it produces. And I sent out a few emails, tried to get them around a few people, of the picture of the whale and of the different types of whales that there are in the Mediterranean Sea, and this is one of them. It's a sperm whale. Its oil was a prized substance in the 19th century, and that's what Captain Ahab and his crew were searching for, was the sperm whale in his acclaimed book, Moby Dick. This fish, this whale, was prepared of the Lord. That is, that it was made by God, and it was numbered by God. I want you to first know that the Lord made the great fish of the sea. The Hebrew word here for this whale is tam. That's the Hebrew word and expression for it, which designates the idea of a large sea creature, or possibly a serpent as well. Now let's trace the whale biblically from its origin. It's interesting that in Genesis 1, the whale is mentioned. And here as God creates the world and the universe and all that's in these things and comes about these things, he mentions specifically the whale. Genesis 1:21, and God created great whales. And here as he's creating his millions of creatures, in all their different sizes and kinds, those who are in the sea, those who are in the air, those who are on the land, he takes special time to say that he created the great whale. And here we have the first indication and origin, I believe, and evidently from the words here in the sentence, is God's first mentioning Jonah's whale. Here the whale was made, was created. Especially know that. Then in Lamentations chapter 4, we'll turn over to that please. Lamentations chapter 4, to verse 3, just after Jeremiah. Lamentations 4, the verse 3, we read these words. Even the sea monsters draw out the breath. This is, of course, the same word that was in Jonah and Genesis. And here, again, it's found in Lamentations 4:3. Even the sea monsters, the whales, draw out the breath. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. What we note here is the whale or the mammal. Here he is. Here he is, presented before us, the great sea monster, the whale that God had made, the mammal, evidently a whale then. Also, we look at Job, chapter 7, in verse 12. You find this mentioned again. Of course, in Job, we find the Leviathan mentioned. In Job 7, verse 12, we find, am I a sea, or a whale, or a sea monster, or a tam, as the Hebrew word is? Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? Whales can be seen off the land, and they were certainly and still are creatures that are admired and watched. You go whale watching, don't you? Maybe you've been whale watching. It's not the season yet, or I would have already gone whale watching. But here they watch the wheels. They used to watch them in Job's day, and Job is a very historic book. But here he says, am I the sea or the wheel? This great sea creature that you have set a watch over me. Let's turn to Psalm 74 as well. Psalm 74, verse 13. You find these words. Psalm 74, verse 13. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons, or the wheels, the tan, in the waters. And here we have these wheels mentioned again, speaking of God's strength. The wheels, and again, I have another reference here, which I think we should turn to emphasize the point. Jeremiah 51, and the verse 34, we find here. Jeremiah 51, the verse 34 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. The tan, the wheel. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out, swallowed by the wheel. This was what was considered here, being swallowed up, the king swallowing up, swallowing him up like the wheel. But again, as we would go into the New Testament, and again reinforce that, Matthew 12 and the verse 40 brings Christ's mind in the matter. Read these words, Matthew 12 and the verse 40. For we'll read from verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Of course, Jonah was prophetic, even in his actions, even in his life, of Christ. Now this word wheel is not definitively in the Greek the word wheel, but it means sea monster again. But I believe we are talking here about a wheel. I believe that God, when he mentioned in his creation narrative, he mentioned the wheel of which he is so pleased with. And as we read through the word of God, we think of the mammals, we think of swallowing up, we have here this complete idea of this wheel, and Christ looking back mentions this wheel in particular. The wheel that God made. The Mediterranean is shark water, and this word could indicate a great white shark. But the evidence, my opinion, seems to point to a wheel. It could be a shark, but I believe we're talking about a wheel. The Mediterranean has many types of wheels. The Mediterranean has also the sperm wheel, this largest wheel, apparently, and many others who could conceivably swallow a man whole. This wheel in verse 17 was made by God. And he has it here at the side of this ship by his holy divine command to swallow up this prophet, to gobble him up and to place him inside his belly. He made Psalm 104. He made this Leviathan. I think we should turn to Psalm 104. And just to finish our references about this wheel in Scripture, Psalm 104, read from verse 24. Let's see what the Lord has to say about this great creature. Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with goods. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest them. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. And so we see here in this wheel that was made by God that sits at the side of the ship, just under the water, ready to do God's bidding. We see the glory and majesty of God in his creation, and how he delights in his creation, how he sees his wonderful work in the creation that he has made by his hands. The great Leviathan, this great sea creature, reckless, disobedient Jonah, on the run from the Lord. The only course of action is by faith to be thrown into the hand of God and thrown into the sea of his raging. The sea was cold, no doubt. It was unforgiving, swallowing up Jonah. The sea itself swallowed up Jonah. But suddenly, the Lord's beloved created and commissioned Leviathan, swallows him up instead. And so what do we think? How do we understand this? This wheel made by God and set here to swallow up Jonah. Simply this. I would like to impress this upon your heart and commend this thought to you as we consider this occasion in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up disobedient, running Jonah. It is by the Lord's mercies that we are not concerned. For what would it have been for this prophet to be thrown into the ocean for God's wrath and chastising him and taking him to have been quenched by his simple drowning and falling to the bottom of the ocean, for his body to run away and for it to be scattered to the seven seas? And yet we would respond to verse 17 and thinking of this. It is by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why, when we run, when we are disobedient, when we feel God, when by faith we step out and leave ourselves before him, he does not crush us. He does not destroy us. Because it is by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And it was simply that God is merciful and was merciful to Jonah that he brought this, his beloved beast, to the side of the ship, that Jonah would not drown and die, but that this wheel would swallow him up. Oh, the rebellious prophet swallowed by the obedient fish. And what a contrast. This fish, great that it was, what a great creation of God, what size, what majesty, and yet but a fish. Here, obeying God, and yet the man that God created in his own image, in righteousness, created he him, and he is thrown over the side on this poor wheel sent by God. This poor fish to saw, a simple fish doing God's will, and in the end, perhaps, note this, beating himself to vomit Jonah out onto the dry land, and here, giving up its life, perhaps, in its final duty for God, beating itself, and there, perhaps, dying on the shore. The bigger sperm whales were female, and this, perhaps, or more than likely, was a female whale. And here this whale, obeying God, swallowing up Jonah, taking him to the shore, vomiting him out, and dying. The fish, this fish prepared by God from creation to testify through time his might, and here, the first time his mercy. And the wheel thought nothing. If we can put ourselves into thinking like that, the wheel thought nothing of obeying God and giving up its life. For here we see in the wheel not only God's might and majesty, but wonderful here, his mercy. This wheel should have been about the ocean, getting fish, doing its natural things that God created it to do, but here it was made and it was numbered. chosen them. And through that special providentially supplied to do God's will, that Jonah might be preserved. And we are reminded of how valuable we are to the Lord. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we look at others and we think how little we are worth. So little we are worth. But here this great wheel was sacrificed for the sake of Jonah. Because Jonah in God's eyes and we in God's eyes are worth more than all the wheels in the world. No matter how great and majestic and no matter how much money might be pumped into preserving them today and how great that people think of the earth and the animals and what we've got to do to save them and this is our great duty. And of course, in its place, there's nothing wrong with these things. But at the same time, what of the soul? What of the man and the woman, the boy and the girl that God cherishes and will send all the wheels in the world to rescue and save so much? He cherishes us, in fact, if we take this forward. And he sent his only begotten Son to die for you and me. The wheel was sent to rescue Jonah and vomit him up upon the shore. He was prepared that Jonah might be preserved. But the Lord could have preserved him in the ocean or by a thousand methods after Jonah was thrown into the sea, but the Lord was pleased to use this wheel to sacrifice this beast. A testimony of his creative wonder in first yes, but a testimony to his mercy. A testimony to the animals who he created that they obey him. This wheel was numbered. That's what the word prepared means. Not only made, but numbered, or perhaps chosen. Let me commend this thought to you, that this wheel was elected. Chosen out of all the wheels in the ocean. Here this wheel was elected for this work. His creation is wonderful. The Lord is pleased with the wheel especially. I think we have established that. And this wheel in particular, of all wheels in the deep and wide ocean, was chosen as fit to do this important work. Yet, in the end, the wheel became special. And you'll have to follow me here. Yet, in the end, the wheel became special, became elected, only as far as it served the redemptive path of Jonah. The wheel in the end meant nothing to God as far as Jonah could be preserved. The wheel was only fit to be sacrificed that Jonah, and to put ourselves in our circumstances of disobedience and life, the Lord has prepared all circumstances. Every living thing, every thing that occurs in his providence, that it might lend to the end of our redemptive task. That we might be preserved. That we might be brought to that right end of life with him forever. This great fish, with all its wonder of the magnificent creation of God, is really but a vessel of mercy. A vessel of mercy. The wheel perhaps died, but it rescued Jonah and transported him to land all the while. As that wheel was swimming about the ocean, with this prophet, this disobedient prophet in his belly, was but a vessel of the mercy of God. Jonah, who deserved nothing from the gracious hand of God, when by faith in Christ he is thrown overboard, the merciful provision, providence of God steps in. And you see, in our lives, in our circumstances, in our disobedience, yes, we deserve to be thrown into the ocean and drowned. Yes, we deserve that our lives will be snuffed out, but it is not the case. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. And after every disobedience and after every sin, he is there standing in with his merciful providence. And in fact, we can say here that really it's Christ stepping in more than the wheel. He's here in person and in type abundantly. But the whale would take Jonah, save his life, and sacrifice himself. It is but a testimony and type of Christ, as much as Jonah is in the belly of the whale. For here we have a picture and a view of Christ, that all our preservation, that all the mercy of God that is new every morning, after every disobedience, that providentially saves us and rescues us, is but Christ to us. It is but his life and death for us. Our Savior, Jonah's Savior, is present here by the sending of the whale, as a ship of mercy, as a vessel of mercy, but he is also the ship of mercy transporting us from an end of ourselves to safety. So what I think we have here in the obvious redemptive side of it, that yes, Jonah's life was saved because Christ saves our life from sin, saves us as brands from the burning, but yet here Jonah in his life, his Christian life, was saved from disobedience providentially and from shipwreck. And he was brought by the gracious and merciful providential hand of God back to land to do his duty. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And his providence is a providence of mercy and grace and nothing else. And whatever comes into our life, whatever sweeps its way in and we think it unwelcome and a bother, whatever occurs and happens should all lend to a view of God's mercy upon our lives. There is nothing in this account of Jonah without seeing Christ in it. Tell you, if you read this book of Jonah and think nothing of Christ and his mercy, you might as well have read Moby Dick. You see, what is in this book and what is contained in this book and what the wheel brings in such forceful remembrance to us is this is about God's mercy. This is about Christ's death for us. That by his mercy we are not consumed. The mercy of God in Christ prepared, chose, and sent the wheel to save Jonah from a watery grave. Christ went into death, and the grave of which Jonah is only a type. Christ died so that Jonah did not have to die, but rescued by the redemptive will of God's providence. And so when we come to an end of ourselves, when the captain has said, call upon thy God, wake up from your sleep of disobedience, when our sin is fully discovered, and we are brought to that point where we have to deal with our sin by faith, throw yourself into the hands of God. For in Christ there is mercy for you and me, no matter the sin, no matter the disobedience. This is the wonder of it all. The wonder is not the wheel. Sure, it's an interesting story. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? But if you want to hear a story about a wheel, go and read Herman Melville's classic. If you want to hear about Christ, you read Jonah. And you'll look for him in it, and for he is abundantly and clearly presented to us. And so when we come to an end of ourselves in disobedience, what do we do? Well, by faith we give ourselves afresh over to God. And we are swallowed up by God's redemptive providence. And then with Jonah we pray. So that's what he did. He was in God's vessel of mercy. And chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. May we be led in chapter 1 through all the experiences of Jonah, awakened, discovered our sin, and fully dealt with into the hands of Jonah. For Jonah, that now we pray, why beseech you to bring your sin before God. A full discovery of it, deal with it, pray to God. For you know your sin will not be dealt with, nothing will happen unless you bring it before him. For he alone can put an end to that sin and disobedience and bring you into a fresh experience of living and walking with him in fullness, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's a wheel here, and the wheel is a majestic creature made by God, the love of God. But what there is here
It's a presentation of God's mercy to man. Jonah should have been drowned, but he wasn't, because God is merciful. Let's pray. Let's come before the Lord and leave it before Him, praying that He'll touch our hearts and make this word and this verse to have such an impact upon us that we'll be led to throw ourselves by faith into God's providence and pray to Him for forgiveness and for reviving, that we may be more enabled to live for Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, how wonderful are Thy works. And the creation of this world, of this universe, the creation of the great wheels of the sea, that yet, Lord, all are put into the shadow of the lifting up of Thy Son. For He was lifted up, that He might draw all men unto Him. And Lord, we pray that we will be drawn unto Him through this experience of Jonah that He has recounted to us, that Jonah being swallowed up was preserved in the belly of the vessel of God's mercy. We thank Thee for our preservation. But we pray, O God, that we will pray, and Lord, that we will not waste. Nor, Lord, will we ignore, nor will we forget that You are merciful to us every morning, every day. Every moment Your mercy surrounds us and keeps us and providentially puts us on the right path to serve us for Thee. O Lord, bless us, we pray. We leave all these things before Thee, that Christ alone may be glorified, that no wheel or no prophet or no man or no church may be put before Thy Son, but that He may have all the preeminence. For He alone lived and died for us that we might be saved. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.